Good morning.
Oh, thank you to that five people who said good morning to me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks, Josh. Hey, it's Monday, I understand. So I thought I would gently lead us into this morning's talk by doing a little poetry reading for you. This poetry comes from, I think, about the 1960s. And if you have parents who pay for XM radio, or for some reason you have it, you might have caught this on the airwaves as a song, but really it's poetry. Hear these words. I'm sorry, so sorry, that I was such a fool. I didn't know love could be so cruel. Oh, 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 oh. Uh-oh. Oh, yes. You tell me mistakes are part of being young, but that don't right the wrong that's been done. I'm sorry, so sorry, so sorry. Please accept my apology. Oh, 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 uh-oh, oh yes. Now, you might not recognize that, but those words were written by Ronnie Self and sung by a 15-year-old pop sensation, Brenda Lee, in the song, I'm Sorry. But people continue to use sorry as poetry. Let's listen to another poem this morning. I'd take another chance, take a fall, take a shot for you. I need you like a heart needs a beat, but it's nothing new. I loved you with a fire red. Now it's turning blue and you say sorry like an angel. Heaven let me think it was you, but I'm afraid that it's too late to apologize. It's too late. It's too late to apologize. It's too late. Yeah. Now, what we hear is so deep and profound and so wise. It's amazing. Now, all joking aside, I do think that songs about being sorry and apologizing do have their way of creeping in on us and shaping what we think. Now, when we're young, we're taught about apologizing, right? We're taught to say we're sorry, and we're taught to say it like we mean it, right? So you can't just be like, sorry. No, Katie, say it like you mean it. So then you make your voice a little quieter, you get a cuter face, like, I'm sorry. And suddenly that counts, right? Because you mean it. It's not particularly helpful. I have many friends in my life who are parents, and they are experts on many things. And I actually have a really dear friend, a friend from Hope. His name is Elizabeth. And I saw her do something with her kids that I thought was remarkable in teaching them how to apologize. I seriously sat in awe. So I called her up to say, hey, could you tell me about how you did that? I'd really like to learn from you. Pretend like I'm four. So she's like, okay, well, that's easy. We've developed something, or they haven't developed something. They take it from something. They call it the four-finger piece. Peace, as in, like, peace, not peas, as in the letter P, which is, I thought, what she first said, and none of the words started with a P, and I was like, that doesn't make any sense to me. But the four-finger piece is, first, you say, I was wrong when I hit my brother, or insert whatever you were wrongdoing. Then you say, I'm sorry because, using the example again of hitting, I know it hurt you. I'll try my best not to do it again. And the last one is, will you forgive me? And then she added, and at the end, we make our boys like give a high five or like hug to like show that, oh, it's cute when you're like four, right? To show that they're in peace or that they're reconciled with one another again. I was wrong, I'm sorry, because I'll try my best not to do it again. Will you forgive me? Now, most of us at a young age are not taught that. We're simply taught to say, I'm sorry, and mean it. Say it like you mean it. And so most of us, because we can't figure out how to say it like we mean it, sometimes just stop apologizing altogether. But here's the thing, it doesn't stop us from saying, I'm sorry, right? In fact, we say I'm sorry a lot. We say it when somebody bombs a test, ooh, sorry. We say it when somebody makes a fool in front of the person they're trying their hardest to impress, ooh, I'm sorry. We say it to our roommate when they're too late in line and they don't get any of the no-bake cookies at Cook. Oh, sorry. We say, I'm sorry, a lot. And then on the flip side, a lot of times when people say, I'm sorry to us, we say, oh, it's okay. Or they'll say, I'm sorry, and we'll say, well, it's not your fault. I'm sorry has become so woven into our language and our vocabulary that I think it's taking on a whole other meaning. Our language creeps in to our lives and starts to change how we think. And how we talk with one another begins to shift how we talk to God. And how we relate to one another shifts with how we relate to God. And the problem is, it should be the other way around. How we talk to God shapes how we talk with one another. How we relate and think about God shapes how we relate and think to one another. Last night, Kate preached in the gathering on what we mean and what we say by we say that we believe in the forgiveness of sins. In the Apostles' Creed. She talked about John 8, where Jesus is telling his disciples, if the Son has made you free, then you are free indeed. And she pointed out two things that are really important for us to remember in terms of forgiveness. The first is simple and profound. We have been forgiven. It's a done deal. We are told that throughout Scripture. In Colossians, we have been reconciled to God through the peace of the blood of the cross. In 2 Corinthians, we heard from a preacher last Wednesday, Joel Boisma, who reminded us that we are made new in Christ, that we are entrusted with the message of Christ, and we are ambassadors for Christ because we hear in verses before that, we have been reconciled to God. We have been forgiven. And we need to sort that out because we need to understand that this affects then how we confess to God. A lot of times I think we think of confession as simply saying, I'm sorry to God. Especially if we have anemic understanding of what it means to apologize, you know, what does it mean to really mean it when we say to God? But we don't simply say, I'm sorry to God, but we confess to God. You see, and we don't confess to be forgiven, but we confess because we have been forgiven. And we confess knowing that truth, and knowing that we need help living as free people. And so our work is not to apologize to God, but our work is to confess to God that we need God's help, that we don't always get it right. And so that is why we do that when we gather together as the body of Christ. We come together and we, Sunday nights, have a time of confession. And oftentimes, it's led with a call to confession, which may sound something like this from the words of 1 John. This is the message we have heard from Christ and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in God there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, but we are walking in the darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, listen to this. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. I don't know about you, but last night when Kate was talking about confession, I really resonated with what she said about how when it sometimes comes to the moment of confession, there's a moment where you sit there, especially if you do it only weekly, where you think, okay, what did I do wrong this week? And she listed examples like, oops, I put the pop can in the trash, not the recycling, or I maybe didn't quite, you know, tell the truth on that. And we rack our brains for all the things that we did wrong. One way, I think, that I have found helpful to live as a confessional Christian is to practice the habit and get into the rhythm of confessing daily. So what does that look like? Well, in the morning, I've got this little book of morning affirmations, it's called. And it's simply based on the Lord's Prayer. And it starts with the affirmation of the fact that I have been forgiven, that we have been forgiven. And then spend some time listing the qualities of God, praising God. And then taking a moment, asking the Spirit to reveal any unconfessed sin in me. And moving from that, from after naming the attributes of God, you know, we say God is love, God is merciful. Puts me in the mindset to realize that I'm not always loving. I'm not always merciful. And I confess that. And the great thing is, the very next thing that happens in that morning affirmation is a reminder of the truth of who I am, who we are in Christ, that I have been made a new creation. And doing that daily isn't like a checklist, great, done, confess this morning, now I can go about my day. But it starts to permeate how I live, how I speak to other people. It makes me more aware of the way that God intends for us to live as free people. Confession is different than simply apologizing. But that's not to say we can't learn from what my friend teaches her young children. Confession is saying, I was wrong when I did this. Confession is saying, I acknowledge that there are consequences to my actions. It's promising to try to not do it again, to alter the ways we live. And it ends with asking, will you forgive me? And the good news for us, brothers and sisters in Christ, is that we are forgiven. So now, as we go about our days, may we not just think about confession when we come together in this space. May we not just think about confession when we're alone with God, but may we live with one another and learn what it means to confess to one another and with one another. Let's pray. God, we this morning come before you as your children, as your people, as the ones that you have claimed. God, continue to mark us as yours. And God, continue to give us a spirit of courage and faithfulness, of wisdom and discernment, as we long to live in the truth of who we are. We pray this all through Christ. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.